Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. I hope you enjoyed your weekend. Film critic Roger Ebert always said he believed that movies, films, were vehicles for empathy, that they were ways to step into one another's shoes and really experience someone else's life. The 18th annual Ebert Fest starts this week in Champaign, and since 2008, Ebert Fest activities have included panel discussions about how the arts, and film in particular, can help challenge stigmas in society. After all, what better way than film to challenge stereotypes?
I hear voices. I didn't tell you because I didn't want to scare you away.
The talking in your head, that's part of the song?
Jesus Christ! Stop!
Ryan, time for your pills. Come on.
You think that I'm crazier than you.
Because we're different, I mean.
Oh, you're killing me. You know what? Forget I offered to help you. Because that must have been crazy. Because I am so much crazier than you.
I don't have my maple syrup either. I'm going to be without my maple syrup and my toothpicks.
You don't see any pancakes, do you, Ray?
Maple syrup is supposed to be on the table before the pancakes.
We haven't ordered yet, Ray.
Of course, when they bring the maple syrup after the pancakes, it'll definitely be too late.
We haven't ordered the pancakes yet. How is that going to be?
We're going to be here the entire morning with no maple syrup and no toothpicks. I'm definitely not going to have my pancakes without.
Don't make a scene. Stop acting like a f***ing retard.
Scanlon, Chiswick, You're voluntary?
Mm-hmm.
Billy, for Christ's sakes, you must be committed, right?
No.
You guys do nothing but complain about how you can't stand it in this place here, and then you haven't got the guts just to walk out. I mean, what do you think you are, for Christ's sake, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
Well, that's a look at different montages through film, how mental health and disability have been challenging stereotypes. And this Thursday, a panel of experts will be talking about this at Ebert Fest. It's called Challenging Stigma Through Love, Mercy, and the Arts. Here in studio with us now to talk about the event is Lynn Canfield, who serves on the board of Champaign County's Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities, and she's the main organizer of the event. Lynn, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Also in studio with me is Joe Amaga Osagie. He's a counselor at Parkland College in Champaign and will be on the panel at this year's event. Joe, thanks for being with us as well.
Thank you.
Joe, you were first on this panel 5 years ago. Why did you decide to participate? Why is this issue so important to you?
This issue has always been important to me, and it really became much more important to me when my brother took his life over 5 years ago. And initially, it was a job, and now it's more than a job. It's a passion. It's something that I hope we all learn something from. Losing someone to suicide is, every day we lose someone to suicide, several families are left to wonder why.
And since you're one of those families, in addition, as you said, this is your job, but this is also something you've experienced personally, I wonder what you learn from that you would want to share with other people?
Listen. Listening is an act of love. I mean, use your whole body to listen and create a community of care so that we all can realize that there is something going on. There's something a little bit deeper when someone says, I'm really down, and not say, oh, just get over it. Because just get over it will not work, has not worked. Medication is a part of the answer, but I think the larger community understanding this individual person makes a difference.
So, Lynn, Joe was just talking about people saying get over it, and I wonder if you see that as part of the stigma of mental health, of just saying, particularly when people are going through depression or fighting thoughts or a notion of suicide, do you think that that's part of the stigma, is just that people think, well, just get over it?
Sure. Yeah. I think there's also the internal barriers are really important. So we could talk about discrimination, which is maybe me saying get over it, or that's so strange, stop. But internal feelings about a mental illness and what it feels like to be disorganized mentally and emotionally, I think are actually really important barriers that we also need to talk about. We can really talk about inclusion pretty effectively because we know when we're not being inclusive, mm-hmm. right? But sometimes to understand what it takes to be included is really different. We really have to listen in a different way to people who are marginalized because of a disability or a mental illness. And, you know, like the physical accessibility is a wonderful metaphor. Like, I wouldn't know that it's hard to get a wheelchair through a door, unless I was in a wheelchair or with somebody who couldn't get the door open, right? So, I mean, I think because people have worked pretty carefully on physical accessibility, now we take that work and use it as a metaphor for what we need to do differently for people who have more invisible disabilities.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think the arts can help overcome those barriers? Is there a role you think film in particular can play in overcoming this?
Yeah, film seems to have at least a short-term impact on people's negative attitudes. It helps to increase empathy, at least for a while. Reading fiction apparently has maybe a little bit more lasting empathy. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, part of a montage was Rain Man.
Right.
And after Rain Man, we seem to take autism differently.
Right.
Prior to Rain Man, we'd never really talked about autism. But now, Rain Man was kind of the epicenter of autism.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in a, for lack of a better, a movement to change how we think about this. It is not just about getting over it. It's about understanding when someone has diabetes, it's a disease of the pancreas. Mental illness is a disease of the brain. And until we're able to start recognizing it in its entirety, we would all, I mean, we're a society of, hey, the rugged individual. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The rugged individual needs a community, needs to be heard, wants to be heard.
I think Rain Man is an excellent example of providing us with a shared, it provides us all with a shared experience of autism. And autism is, it manifests differently mm-hmm. in almost everyone who has it. So every person's experience of having autism is individual. And then every family's experience of understanding autism is different because it is by necessity just specific to the person that they love. So it was important, especially with autism, to have something common that we could talk about. Like, oh, look at all of the different areas of life that this particular condition can impact. And that was a really compelling performance, too. It wasn't a documentary, so that gives us
and
sort
of a
safe,
shared experience.
And do
you think that makes a difference, right? If it's not a documentary, maybe perhaps there's more of a entree point for if it's maybe a movie as opposed to a film. I mean, we could have a whole other discussion about that, but does that make a difference?
Absolutely. I think documentaries are wonderful, and I personally watch a lot of them, but for broader reach and for a nice, simple, shared point of understanding, Rain Man is an excellent example.
So Rain Man did that for autism. Mm-hmm. And you all on this this Ebert Fest panel on Thursday are going to be discussing not just disabilities, but also mental health issues. And I wonder, to get back to our previous or what we started this conversation with, which the notion of suicide, is there a film? Is there, I mean, I feel like that is there something in particular you can point to that is that breakout?
Rain Man for suicide?
Mm-hmm.
Well, or just something that is maybe more a common entry point for that discussion.
Mm-hmm. There are
several. I'm working with teenagers teens and young adults over the last 20 plus years. Deadport Society was one that we used when we talked about the suicide of a young man in a school. I mean, it was a conversation we had in Operation Snowball about should we show this movie in its entirety so that we could actually discuss it. And it was a back and forth for several days as we planned our retreat.
Mm.
And that was, we eventually did show the movie and we had a good conversation about it. And I think what movies do, it demystifies some of these issues and gives us a chance to talk about it. There was an MTV. I did not see the MTV Awards yesterday, but the caption for the MTV Awards.
The movie awards last night.
Mm-hmm. The movies that people actually watch. And that's the entry point because these are popular movies.
That's important.
Yeah, people get to see these movies and you can relate to them in a way that says, okay, it's non-threatening.
And I think, and that's, I feel like for you all, I'm curious your perspective on, you all have been participating in this panel for years. Do you feel like there has been an evolution in how we're discussing, particularly around, like we've talked about an evolution in autism, an evolution perhaps in people with physical disabilities? Is there an evolution in the way that we discuss mental health, and in particular depression and suicide? Do you think that that's improved in society?
In society or in a panel discussion?
And well, I feel like the panel discussion hopefully would reflect what's going on in society, right? So do you
I
all...
think it would be very hard for either of I'm sorry mm-hmm. to speak no, for you, Joe, but hard well, for any... us to comment right. on how it's changed in society, because we could have a nuanced conversation like this till the cows come mm-hmm. home, right?
Do you I think mean, it's gotten
we're
better?
In bubbles where mm-hmm. this right. is what we talk about. Yeah. For the panel discussion, I can share with you that it has changed over the years, but I can't be sure what the variables are which changed it. We have participation from both filmmakers and critics, guests of the festival, and then mm-hmm. local experts like Joe. Mm-hmm. And they have maybe figured out a way to talk to each other that's really entertaining in mm-hmm. itself yeah. and brief. So
so that's interesting. Yeah. Do you think that's changed within the
I
film community?
So. Yes, and I think maybe the panel discussion...
It's okay. Everybody's got colds going around. It's all right, Joe. You can cough.
I think it's attracting festival guests who may have a connection to these issues, too. We hear people talking quite freely about their personal experiences around these things, and they're festival guests. They don't have to. We may be professionals in that world, but they're not.
Yeah, so I mean, nice. And I think what I've said also is, yes, the festival guests do talk about their own connection to mental illness, their own personal stories about mental illness. Yes, we're it's on a bigger scale. Yes, it's the conversation is a little bit more open, and we're having there has been movement. It's not solved the problem, but there has been movement in which we're trying much harder to have these conversations and to really stop thinking of it as a weakness of character. Mm-hmm. And as a mental illness.
And that's fundamentally, is that, Joe, where you see the stigma that we see this as a weakness of character?
Yes. That's my personal opinion. And also some of the literature will support that culturally we still see it that way. Anyway, I mean, and looking at the communities of color, I mean, mental illness is something that we don't want to talk about. Africans don't want to talk about it. Latinos don't want to talk about it. Asians don't want to talk about it. However, I mean, for lack of a better word, the average white community is still a little bit more open about it. But the rural white community probably isn't as open about it. There is this whole idea that thinking that if you do commit suicide or there is a selfishness about it that you have been selfish to take your life and your family's now left
and
to
when
deal
you're,
with it.
And Joe, when we're particularly talking about communities of color and we're thinking about, there's so many layers to that, mm-hmm. right? Because there's immigrant communities, there's different mm-hmm. cultures. You know, you mentioned so many different culture and ethnic mm-hmm. groups just within what you said mm-hmm. there. Do you think that film can help reach those communities as well? Do you think it's part of just how we're seeding this through popular culture, no matter where you come from?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Well, last year's film was, we were able... It really does also depend on the film. And even mm-hmm. though we won't have seen the film until Saturday and the discussion is this Thursday morning, so they won't give you spoilers, but some of the issues we are able to introduce are particular to the film. So last year,
and which film is this that you're discussing?
This is Love and Mercy.
Love and Mercy.
So we'll probably hear a bit about the creative process and maybe that, how that creates a risk for people who may be vulnerable to mental illness or substance use disorders. That the creative process itself can be kind of an mm-hmm. additional risk factor. Yeah. And then there's some themes around family support and legal problems. So it's a nice platform for those particular discussions. Last year, we were able to talk quite a bit about race, gender, and immigrants, the mm-hmm. particular experience of immigrants in a community that stigmatizes them. Mm-hmm. So, and a few years before that, we were able to address LGBTQA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So it's
and
like
family rights. Mm-hmm.
So there's just so many mm-hmm. conversations where I imagine oh, yeah. both so of more, you feel like this this conversation just needs to keep happening.
Yes. And filmmakers are interested in these themes and are always producing things that give us those opportunities. It's just how we create the opportunity and manage the discussion. Mm-hmm.
That's Lynn Canfield. She's on the Mental Health Developmental Disabilities Board for Champaign County, and she's part of the organizing panel of a panel that will be taking place at Ebert Fest on Thursday. I want to thank her as well as Joe Ama-Osagie, who's a counselor at Parkland College and will also be on this mental health panel this Thursday. Thank you for being with me.
Thank you.
Coming up, Ken Burns has turned his sights to American icon Jackie Robinson. We're going to continue with our film theme by speaking with one of the advisors to the documentary, which premieres on PBS stations tonight. You're listening to The 21st. Stay tuned.
The 21st is made possible by Custer & Bradley, LLP. Providing legal service to the Urbana-Champaign community since 1895, Custer & Bradley's attorneys are committed to achieving the best results for their clients. More information is available at CusterLawLLP.com.